Okay, good morning. We are on the very bottom of Lamed Aleph from the Beis. Today's daf is daf Lamed Beis. Exactly, I'm Rav Yosef. The last thing we saw was all sorts of discussions about snake poison, and that the rabbis had created a prohibition on uncovered water and wine. Apparently, the snakes like wine. They like water. So, if the wine was left uncovered, if water was left uncovered, it wasn't supervised. It's dangerous to drink it because a snake may have gotten into it and taken a sip and deposited in return some of his poison. If
it's dangerous because of poison, or is poison not kosher?
Dangerous because of the poison.
But is the poison make it
I don't think it's a food. It's this is an issue not of kashrus. It's an issue of danger.
So it's not a kashrus.
So the rabbis created a prohibition because it's dangerous, and danger is a bigger deal sometimes than kashrus. You have to be strict even with a fear of danger. You know, maybe you didn't see a snake, but there's a fear that a snake may have gotten there.
Yeah, whatever. In the old days, they used to say that. Water, you should cover it up, otherwise, I don't know, the souls go inside. Or
something. Oh, okay, so that's not the Gemara, because the Gemara talks about snakes.
Snakes, I
know. So, in the Shulchan Aruch records these laws. The Shulchan Aruch writes, quoting the Tur, that since we live nowadays in places where we don't have lots of poisonous snakes around, so we're not careful for this law. We drink the wine that was uncovered or the water that was uncovered. However, the Pischei Tshuva there quotes the Shla, who said you shouldn't drink uncovered things because of Kabbalistic reasons.
Right.
And the Pa'asa Shulchan, quote, who was a student of the Gaon of Vilna, so he says that his teacher, the Gaon of Vilna, was very careful, very, very careful, not to drink uncovered liquids like wine and water, because the snakes is only one reason. There are many Kabbalistic reasons also.
Reason, right. All right.
So there were those who felt that. So it's, was it your parents or other people in the town? They knew this. They
exactly
knew that
right.
There were Kabbalistic reasons behind it as well.
Obviously, cover the wine. You know, that's
yeah, they knew this. So that's there are those who say that. Then the last thing we saw yesterday was that Shmuel said that the various rodents have an antidote quality to the poison. So if the poison, creates, the snake poison creates chills and inflation, these various rodents that the Goyim eat, that warms up the body and it reverses the negative impact of the snake poison. All right, I'm Rav Yosef. Now on the very bottom. Rav Yosef said, Hai chala de shichra de arma. The vinegar that was formed out of the beer of Gentiles. Aser. You're not allowed to eat it. Because the Gentiles mix into it the sediments of wine that they've used to pour in front of the idol. So you have wine that they use to pour in front of an idol, which is the worst type of wine, as we learned yesterday. There are three types of wine. There's wine that they poured in front of an idol. There's wine that we just don't know what was done with it. It's their wine. And there's Jewish wine that they're handling. So this type of vinegar has these sediments of non-kosher. Amar Rav Ashi said, Umeotzar, if the non-Jew brings you vinegar from a utensil that was made to store things away, Shari, that's allowed. Because clearly there, they did not mix in... Here, Eric, we have lots of Gemaras. Clearly there, they didn't mix in the wine of Yaya Nesach. Kivin de Ma'arvi Bey, Misra Sari, because if they would have mixed in the wine of the sediments of the wine of Yayin Nesach, because it's sitting for so long, it would have had a very bad smell. We would have seen that it has a very bad smell. So clearly it's not bad. Okay, so we are now at the two dots on Lamed Beis on the Aleph, and the Gemara now discusses what we learned in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah we learned that there are all sorts of things that are prohibited in terms of wine of the Gentiles, or Yayin Nesach, the wine that the Gentiles pour to idols. One of them is Cheres Hadrayani, Hadrianic pottery. Now Hadrian was the name of the wicked emperor of Rome who made many anti-Jewish legislation. So the Gemara says, my Hadriani, what is this Hadrianic pottery? What's so terrible about it? So Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Rav Yehuda said the name of Shmuel, I'll tell you what it was. It was Cheres Shel Hadrianus Kesar. It was pottery, earthenware, of Hadrian the emperor. And when he would go to war, he would take along this pottery. Now, what, how'd they make it? Yasser Avdimi Yamar, when Avdimi came, he explained, Karka betula haita shalo avda adam me'olam. There was virgin land that had never been worked. So organic farming. He had this land that had never, ever in history been cultivated. So the nutrients in this land was tremendous, very, very strong. So what did he do? It's the Caesar, he's the head of the Roman Empire. So Avda, he commanded that it be cultivated. Unita, what did he cultivate in it? He didn't cultivate in it apples. He didn't cultivate in it oranges. If he's going to get, you know, supercharged nutrients, he wants it in his grapes because he wants wine. So he cultivated it with grapes, and they were supercharged with tremendous nutrients. So out of these supercharged grapes, you got some of the strongest wine that ever existed. And out of this strongest wine, he made this strong wine, v'ramile l'chamra, and he took this very strong wine, he threw it in gulfa chivari, in new white earthenware vessels. U'maitziluhu l'chamraihu. So these earthenware vessels absorbed this very strong wine like a sponge. Then, you know, they were traveling. It's hard to carry wine with you. They're going to war. So what'd they do? They poured the wine out, but the vessels had a lot of wine inside. So matriluhu b'chaspi, they broke the vessels into lots of little earthenware chips. And then, they would carry it with them. So all the soldiers had with them these white earthenware chips that have in them super strong wine taste. So therefore, wherever place they would get to, taruluhu, they would soak these chips. As they get to a place, then they take out these little white chips, and they would get some water from the place, and they would drop the white chip in the cup with the water, and soaking the white chip in the cup of the water would extract from the chip the super strong wine. And with the super strong wine, they now have, you know, I guess it was their form of wine concentrate. So with the super strong wine, they would drink v'shasu. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi would say, Rishon Shalanu, our first level of wine. In other words, if we took grapes and we pressed them and we made the grapes into wine, would only be as strong Kishlishi Shalahem, like the third diluted Hadrianic pottery wine of theirs. In other words, if they would take the pottery and fill one cup, drink that. Then they'd fill a second cup, soak the piece in it, drink that. Then they'd fill a third cup and soak it. So, you know, it's the third time it's being soaked. Their wine on the third go-around of off of this concentrate was as strong as our wine on the first go-around. So that's what the Mishnah is saying. These pieces of pottery are prohibited to us since we can't have their wine. So these pieces of pottery are all their wine. To buy such a piece of pottery or to get it and put it into water is not allowed. It's prohibited tastes.
But this is, Machshema was a smart guy, Rabbi.
Hadrian.
Hadrian, yeah.
Okay. Alrighty, Bailu, I had a question now. When we talk about things that you can't get benefit from, so let's say you have these pottery pieces. These pottery pieces have non-kosher wine. You can't get benefit from it. Are you allowed to use it to support the legs of a bed? In other words, when you want the non-kosher wine to exist, but not for the sake of the non-kosher wine. You're not really getting benefit from the wine, but the only way to get rid of this wine would be to pulverize this pottery. And you don't want to pulverize the pottery, because you're actually using the pottery to elevate your bed. Is that called getting hana? Is that called wanting the wine and it's not okay? Shari, is that permitted though? Or us, or is it not allowed? Maybe it's permitted because you don't really want the wine, you want the pottery. The only way to get rid of the wine would be to get rid of the pottery, but you want the pottery. So maybe because you want the pottery, not for the sake of the wine, that's okay. Or maybe it's not okay, because the bottom line is when you have something that you're not supposed to get any benefit from at all, you should want it destroyed. Want it destroyed, you should want even what holds it to be destroyed. So can you use these pieces of pottery with yayin nesech tastes in them for to support a bed or not? So now the Gemara tries to prove this question. Tashma coming here approved to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan had an argument about this. Chad Asar, one said you're not allowed to use these pieces of earthenware, Hadrianic earthenware, to support your bed. But Chad Shari, the other one said you're allowed to. So Gemara says, basically, how could you say that you're allowed to? We learned Hadar Durin. These are small containers. Varuk Baos. Ruk Baos are leather flasks that get wine. Shalov de Kochavim of the non-Jews, which now have lots of tastes of non-Jewish Yayin Nesach. And Yayin Shel Yisrael Kanus Bahem. And you put Jewish wine in them. Asur Bishtia, you're not allowed to drink them. Umutar Bana, but you're allowed to get benefit. Hey, Shimon ben Guda, lefnei beno shel Rabbi Gamliel. Shimon ben Guda testified before the son, Rabbi Gamliel, al Rabbi Gamliel, about his father, Rabbi Gamliel. Sheshasim imenu, he did drink such wine. Be'ako, in the city Akko, lo hodu lo, but the other sages didn't agree. Nodo shelov de kochavim, when you have these leather flasks of the non-Jews that are empty, Shimon Gamliel Omer Mishur, or barrels of the non-Jews that are empty. Shimon Gamliel Omer Mishur, Rabbi Yeshua ben Kufsai, Aser Lasas Mehem Shtifim Lachamor. When you have these leather flasks, you can't turn them into like a carpet to put on top of a donkey. So you see, the same way you can't make them a carpet for a donkey, it sounds like you can't get benefit from them. At least we're talking about the leather. That should be the same as using the earthenware pieces underneath the bed. You're not drinking these leather. You're using it for some other purpose. But you see, it's not allowed. When you talk about these leather flasks of the non-Jews, we just said you can't make it, a leather thing for the donkey. You're not wanting the existence of the wine. You want the existence of the wine because you want the existence of the leather, which is holding the wine. But you really want the leather, not the wine. You're using the leather. And it says that it's not allowed. So you see that this is not allowed. So Gemara says it's not approved. According to your logic, that the reason why you can't use these leather flasks as a mattress on top of a donkey, because that means you want the wine to exist. No, that type of logic, you should be prohibited from buying the containers of the non-Jews that have these tastes in them. And we know that we do buy these containers of non-Jews and put water in it. It's just wine that we can't put in it. Apparently you could get benefit from them. So, Maishna Nudos, why is it only the leather flasks that you can't? Maishna Kankanim, why are we allowing people to buy earthenware casks? Amar Rava said, The reason why you can't make out of the leather flasks a blanket on top of the donkey, not because if you make out of it, then you're benefiting from the wine in it, and the definition of a prohibition of benefit is that you should want the whole thing to be destroyed. No, it's gzeira. If you're going to have on your donkey these leather flasks that have been non-Jewish wine holders, shema yibaka nodo, maybe your leather flask will break. V'yitlenu, then you're going to grab this leather that had been from the non-Jewish flasks, v'yitferenu al gabe nodo, and you'll patch up your flask with the non-Jewish flask. And then the tastes of the non-kosher wine that are in the non-Jewish flask are going to go into your wine. So that's why you can't use it, but not because it's a prohibition of getting benefit.
Wasn't it like this 10, 15 years ago between Johnny Walker and, you know, they had Chivas Regal, Johnny Walker buying the thing from wineries from barrels, the France. Yeah.
The barrels.
And then they found it out that those empty barrels, which is good for liquid, you know, liquor to really grow, really be smelly good, was non-kosher. So then they stopped drinking, you know, the rabbi says, don't drink no more Johnny Walker Black, no more the Chivas Regal. And,
could be, I don't remember.
And, that was like 15 years ago. So,
but
I don't know.
They had
wine, they had French non-kosher wine in it.
Yeah.
You can use a compound to hold water. The one I put out there is that had wine in it.
Yeah, it's to hold water, we said, right.
It would be okay by Scotch, but not wine.
It's not wine, right?
Yeah, I'm not, I have to look into the topic.
Is this where they come from, with the whole shower casting?
Sure, yeah, I have to look into it further.
Look this up right away. This happened 10, 12 years ago.
That sounds exciting.
I don't know what happened. I think they paid us that money or whatever.
Again, the one in 60th doesn't count in this. Like if it just adds less than.
No, because as we're going to learn, whenever you put something deliberately for the taste, then it doesn't lose its identity.
It's a small amount.
It's really not the taste, it's
really the marketing. Now, Laman Zahamar, according to the one who said that, wrote to Bikiyuma Yidei Davar Acher Aser, that if you wanted the chips, not for the sake of the taste in the chips, but as a booster of a chair, it's not allowed. So Maishna Kankanim Desharu. So why is it allowed to buy their barrels, their casks? Amar Lach, so he'll tell you, Hasam Lese Li Sura Be'ine. When you buy their barrels, what you have is you have tastes that are in the walls of the barrels. So it's not something that you can see. Hacha, but when you have these earthenware pieces of the Hadrianic earthenware, there's so much absorbed in the earthenware that it's virtually considered that it is seeing, that you can see the wine. Isei li'isura be'enei, that's considered openly visible wine, openly visible prohibited things, and therefore you have to totally destroy it. Okay, you learned in the Braisa that Shimon ben Gouda said about Rabbi Gamliel that he drank from these empty leather flasks of the non-Jews in Akko. But it said there, v'lo hodulo. But the other sages did not agree to him. Ramini, I'll challenge you. How could we do this? We learned, yayin haba baruch bos, wine that is in leather flasks, shalov de kochavim, of the Gentiles. Aser b'shtia, you're not allowed to drink it. Umutar ba'na, you can get benefit from it. Hey, Shimon ben Gud, lefnei b'noshe, Rabban Gamliel, or Rabban Gamliel. Shimon ben Gud testified about Rabban Gamliel, sheshasim imenu ba'akko, that he drank from it in Akko, v'hodulo. And the sages agreed to him. So that's the exact opposite of what we said, that they didn't agree to him. So, my lo hodulo tekamer hasam, what does it mean that they didn't agree to him? Kol si aso. That means that the other sages didn't agree to him. Aval beno modilo, but the son agreed to him. So the second brayso that says that they agreed to him means that the son agreed with him. The first brayso that said that they didn't agree with him means the other sages didn't agree to him. Iba yisem, well, certainly maybe there's we have the wrong names. Maybe the one brayso was about Gouda with an aleph, and the other brayso was about Godea with an ayin. So Guda Lechud and Godea Lechud. There are two different sages talking about what Rabban Gamliel did. And to one sage, they agreed. To the first sage, they disagreed. And then the second sage said it again. And they said, okay, well, now if it's a testimony of two, then they agree to it. Then that means it must be the case. Okay, going further in the Mishnah. The Mishnah taught that basically anything that we suspect had been offered to the idol as an offering, that's takrovas avodah zarah. Takrovas avodah zarah, you can't get any benefit from. So that starts with wine. You think that they offer their wine to their idols. And the Mishnah went on to talk about other things. It talked about skins that have a hole in the heart. In other words, that they went in, they cut open the skin, and they went after the heart, they took out the heart. So why is that? That's also an offering of Avodah Zarah. Because that was what they used to do. They used to take out the heart and give it to their idol. Oros Levuvin, skins where the hearts have been pulled out. Tanur Rabbanan, we learned in a Braisa. Ezehu Or Lavu, what is a skin where the heart was pulled out? Kol Shekarua Kineged Alev, where there is a tear opposite where the heart would be. And if you take the skin, and there is a tear opposite where the heart would be, because they pulled out the heart and they gave it to their offering. Vikador Kimin Aruba. And it is a tear, which is a puncture, like a circle. Now, Yesh Alav Koret Dam. If you have on the skin of an animal a congealed blood, then it's asur. It's not allowed because that's a sign that they tore out that skin. They pulled out the heart when it was still alive, and that's why it then congealed and became a scab.
They're doing this while the animal is alive?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
They were ISIS.
I guess they didn't have the, pizza, the animal rights, so they weren't so strong back in the day.
Yeah. Now they want to forbid the shita.
Even worse, in Iceland they want to forbid bris mila. Amazing. The anti-Semites of Europe, unbelievable.
Well, they just did in Maximo, Germany, a few years ago. They said no.
Bris Mila, right? Yeah. There was a district right in Germany, Nebuch. Yeah. Now, ein alav kort dam, but if you take a skin of a non-Jewish animal and it doesn't have any scab on it, so that means that after they took the skin off, then they maybe cut a hole in. So if it wasn't done during the lifetime of the animal, then it's not this offering of Avodah Zarah. Rav Huna said, Lo Shanu, we only permitted a skin that doesn't have the scabs, Ela Shalom Molcho, if it was a skin that had not been salted after its slaughter. Aval Molcho Asur, but if the skin was salted, then it is prohibited, because Ema Milcho Havarto, maybe the salt took away the scab. There had been a scab, but the salting of the skin removed the scab. And maybe, in fact, this is a skin that during the lifetime of the animal, the savages cut it open to take out the heart and give the beating heart to their idol. All right, the Mishnah said, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel teaches, Bizman shakera shalo agol asur. If this hole is circular, it's not allowed. But mashuch, if the hole in the skin is stretched, mutter, that is allowed, because that's already a sign that it wasn't, the idolatrous practice. Rav Yosef said in the name of Rav Yehuda, in the name of Shmuel, Halacha ki Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. Halacha's like Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. Amali Abaye said to him, Halacha, if you're going to say Halacha's like him, Michlal de Pligi, does that imply that there are others who disagree? Who disagrees? Amar Leh, Rav Yosef said, "My nafkal achmina." What's the difference whether no one disagrees or people disagree, but halacha's like him? If nobody disagrees, then that's the way the halacha is. If people disagree and I'm saying halacha's like him, still that's the way the halacha is. So what do you care? So Amar Leh, so he said to him, even though there's no ramification about what the halacha is going to be, because either way it's going to be this way, that if it's a round hole, it's a problem, but if it's a stretched hole, it's not a problem. But it matters that you get it done right. But Gemara is martitzehe. When you learn Gemara, it's just a song. It's a song. You can sing this word, you can sing that word. It's not songs. This is God's words. This is God's information. You have to get it right. You have to be precise with who said what and why we decide what. And everything's got to be done 100%. You know, it matters. You're saying Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's right. Who argued with him? You're implying that somebody argued with him. Say, what does it mean that I am? Who cares that I imply? Bottom line, this is the right. This is the law. It doesn't work that way. Every detail's got to be right, even when there's no ramification lahalacha of an argument. We have to get the argument right.
So the answer is he was qualifying the first line.
Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is implying that there are others who disagree. Yeah, he's qualifying, and the fact that he's the one qualifying means that there are others who disagree with him. But he's right. He's right. Halacha's like him.
Well, he says halacha is halacha. Either you agree or disagree. But the bottom line is, Rabbi, he says, like it or not, it's halacha is halacha.
No. Rav Yosef said halacha. Right? Rav Yosef quoted Rav Yehuda, who said halacha is like this opinion. Now, you're only going to say halacha is like a certain opinion if there are others who disagree with it. So Abaye said to Rav Yosef, but nobody disagreed with this. So who cares? Who cares that nobody disagrees? I'm still telling you what's the law. I'll tell you why I care. Because this is not, we're not singing songs here. This is Torah learning. Torah learning's got to be done right. If you're implying something, it's got to be that way. You can't just say, well, it doesn't matter. Still, the bottom line's the bottom line. It does matter. Every detail matters.
Yeah, but really, this is the time of the Tanoim when...
Amoraim, you mean.
The Amoraim, that they were establishing the details of laws.
Right.
Okay? And that was a time when you have debates about the law.
Right.
And all of a sudden, since there were no debate before it, somebody says, this is law because this is Torah.
No. He's saying this is law because there is a debate.
What?
He's saying this is law, which means that there is a debate, and I'm telling you who's the right one in the debate. So Abaye says, but there was no debate. Rav Yosef says, it doesn't matter.
That could be this opinion. He said, I'm telling you the right one. Well, yeah. That's his opinion.
You got to get it done right. That's what Abaye is teaching you.
Okay, so he says you got to get it right, and this is why there is a debate.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, there would be no debate on the issue.
Mm-hmm. So then the Mishnah said that if the a Jew is walking into, actually a non-Jew, if a non-Jew is walking into a church with meat, so you're allowed to get benefit from it. Basar anichnas lavodas kochavim, the meat that's going into the church, mutter, you're allowed to get benefit from it, as long as you make sure that the non-Jew didn't offer it to the altar yet. So man tana, who's the tana of this law? I'm Rav Chiya bar Abba, Rabbi Yochanan. This is the low Rabbi Elazar. It's not like Rabbi Elazar. The Rabbi Elazar, because Rabbi Elazar would tell you, Amar, he says, Stam machsheves ovid kochavim, lavodas kochavim. That a non-Jew, when he's slaughtering an animal, he's thinking about avodah zarah. So it doesn't matter that he hasn't yet offered this cut of meat to the idol. When he slaughtered it for the avodah zarah. And therefore, it already would be prohibited.
Rabbi, if somebody carries the meat and go through the church for a shortcut, otherwise I have to go 10 blocks and go through it, you know, right? That meat is no good no more, that's it?
Let's see, this next paragraph might shed light on that. So the Mishnah said, Vayotze, if the meat's coming out of the idolatrous church, usr, then you can't get any benefit from that meat. Because it's an offering to the dead, it's an offering to the idol. So the Mishnah says, my timer. Why is it not allowed? Because efsher deleka tekrovas avodas kochavim. Because we are sure that he offered it to the idol. If he's in the church, we're sure he offered it to the idol. So the Gemara says mani. Who is the opinion that says that whatever is offered to an idol is already prohibited to get any benefit from it? And so the Gemara Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseirahi, which we saw earlier. We saw this yesterday. The Tanya we learned in a Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir, Omer Minayel Tekrovas Avodas Kochavim Shematami Ba'ohel. How do we know that that which is offered to an idol is so prohibited that it even has impurity, and it creates impurity being under the same roof as somebody? Shenamas, the verse says, Vayitzamdu leVaal Pa'or, and they were attached to the idol, Baal Pa'or, Vayochlu, and they ate Zivchei Mesim, offerings that are dead. What does that mean, offerings that are dead? Ma meis mitami ba'ol, just like the dead body creates impurity in a tent. After kroves, savoros kochav mitami ba'ol. So to the offerings, to the idol, create impurity even in a tent. Then the Mishnah says, ha'ochin letarfos, those who are going to the church, asurin lasis v'lasis imayin, you can't do business with them. So Amar Shmuel, Shmuel said, ovid kochav ma'ol letarfos, if the non-Jew is going to the church, v'halicha aser, while he's walking, you can't do business, because when he's walking to the church, if he does a good business deal, az lamodi kam yavodas kochavim, he's then going to go and he's going to be thankful in front of the idol. So you're encouraging more thankfulness. V'chazara mutter, but when he comes out of the church, you could do the business with him. Because ma'ida hava hava, if he does a good business deal, he's not going to now run back to the church to be thankful. He already finished with his services. However, Yisrael holich letarfos, if a Jew is walking to the church, b'halicha mutter, when he's walking to it, you could do business with him, because dil mahadar bevelo azul. Maybe the pintel yid will be woken up, and he won't go to the church. Maybe he'll turn around, he's not going to go all the way. But b'chazara aser, but if he's coming back out of the church, then already you can't do business with him. Because kevan da'avukba, once he's become attached to his idolatry, mehadar hadar ba'azul. When he gets a good business deal, he's going to turn around and go back to the church to be thankful for the church. So I think in light of what we learned, in terms of Baruch's question, if you see the non-Jew using the church just as a shortcut, then yes, then I don't think it would be prohibited to get benefit from that meat, because it's clear that he didn't offer it. We're saying here that if he's coming out, we assume that he was offering. Well, you're sure that he offered, but if you know for sure that he didn't, if you watch and he didn't, then it wouldn't be prohibited. That's what it sounds like.
Okay.
Thank you. Rabbi Hananya ben Akashi Omer, Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu Lezakos Yisrael, Lefich Achir B'lehem, Toro Mitzvah, Shenemar, Adonai Chapeh Saman, Zitko, Yakil, Rabbi Adir, Yisrael.